If you want to just throw the outline of the study up very quickly, we're just going to look at it quickly just to show you where we started with creation, evolution. We talked about the different types of evolution, and then we moved to different aspects of it. Then we looked at creation, and we talked about that. And at the very end of that, we talked about how it affects our views. Now we're in this section we call in various areas. We spent some time in Genesis chapter 1, first three verses, and really the whole first chapter where we talked about is the gap or no gap between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2. We talked about that, and then we talked about days and ages. Then, last week, we talked about dinosaurs. Were dinosaurs before men, millions of years, or were they men with man? We even went to the Bible and Job and saw, well, we believe dinosaurs are listed in the Bible. Now, as we continue, we're to the flood. And this is the questions that people ask all the time. What, was there really a flood? And what about these fossils? Where do they come from? And what do the fossils show us? Do the fossils show us that man evolved, or does it show something else? And how do we find it? And here's the question: was it a worldwide flood? I talked to a person not too long ago, and they said it's probably just a local flood. And I said, well, I just don't see it being a local flood simply because of what the Scripture says. And so we'll talk about that. Because when you go to the Bible, we'll see what it says. Where did all the water come from? Because, you know, how in the world is it going to rain for 40 days and 40 nights and flood the entire world? I mean, how could that happen? And then Noah in the ark, and how did he do it? I mean, how did this man and his three sons build this boat that's as big as an ocean liner? And then how did they get all those animals on there? And did they get all the animals on there? And were they on there for 40 days and 40 nights? No, they were on there for a year and 10 days. If you've ever looked at the Scripture carefully. So how did they do all that? How did all this work? And so we're going to see all of that. Then the last thing, of course, which will be a couple of weeks from now, we'll start looking at man, what's so-called the prehistoric man and the missing links and the value of man and all of that. So that's really our study and where we are. And so in this section, we're in the whole idea of the flood. Now, last time, Job chapter 40 and 41, description of dinosaurs, I think there was. I mean, if you look at it, I hope all of you went back and looked at it in detail and said, what else could this be? I believe that dinosaurs were on the ark. I believe dinosaurs existed at the time of time of Noah, but the time of even of Job, and because of what's written in the book of Job, which was written about the same time as Abraham. This morning we're going to move to the flood, to the fossils and the ark, and there's so much here, and there's a controversy. Was there a flood? Did all things die on the earth that had to breathe? Did all things die? And what about man? What about mankind? What was God doing? Why was there this judgment? Was there a Noah? And how big was the ark? And could all the animals get on the ark? And was this a myth? And if it's a myth, why do all cultures have a story of a great flood? Those kind of things. And we're going to look at it. And so as I looked at those questions we threw up there a while ago, was there a flood? And where do the fossils fit in? And what about Noah and the worldwide or local and all that? So let's start with question number one. And that is, was there a flood? Well, just from the evidence, and when you talk about just looking at it from strictly a human way of saying, let's go out and look at the evidence, there appears to be some kind of catastrophe in the world. That the strata has changed, there's fossils, these formations. A man by the name of Bert Thompson, who's a microbiologist, says this: vast animal graveyards, fossil rubble have been found worldwide. Evidence of some great, sudden, and even recent water cataclysm, followed by a deep freeze across the entire North, Great North, burying most of mammoths, mastodons, elephants, and other great beasts, has been documented. Now, scientists say, well, there was something big happened at one time in the history of the world of whatever we have, because there was some catastrophe to cause what we have seen. There are stories throughout all of history and all of cultures. There is the story. William Dawson, who's a geologist, just writes. He says, further, we know that the deluge of Noah is not just a mere myth or fancy of a primitive man, or solely something that we find in the Hebrew Scriptures. He says, the record of a catastrophe is preserved by some of the oldest historical documents of several distinct races of men, and is seen throughout all history of most civilized races. In fact, if you can go to all different cultures, and almost every culture has a story of a flood. There's a famous story called the Gilgamesh Chronicles, or the Gilgamesh Stories, that's even time-wise, written-wise, is that some of the same as the oldest parts of the Old Testament, called the Gilgamesh Stories. And the Gilgamesh story is the story of a flood that came upon and covered the whole world. Not, that wasn't Hebrew culture, that was just another culture that came up with this. As we begin, let's go to the Bible. Look at Genesis chapter 6. Look about verse 17. This is just to show you where it is. Here's God speaking to Noah. It says, Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord, and the earth was corrupt. And so God says to Noah, verse 17 of Genesis chapter 6, behold, I, even I. Now I want you to notice that God makes it very plain. Who's bringing the flood? God is. Behold, I am bringing the flood of water upon the earth to destroy all flesh in which is the breath of life from under heaven. Everything that is on the earth shall perish. Now, if we only had that one verse, would we assume that it was a worldwide flood or a local flood? Yeah, we'd have to say, because you could say, well, no, God lied to Noah. See, God just told Noah that since Noah was dumb and he only knew about the place that he lived, he was just telling him he was going to kill everything in the whole world. But what he only meant was he was just going to kill everybody who lived where Noah lived. Is that what it says? It says the breath of life of everything that is on the earth shall perish. He's going to destroy everything. So if you're going to look at this from a biblical point of view, we're going to have to assume that there was a time that God said, I will destroy everything that has the breath of life on this earth at one time. He's going to destroy it by a flood. Listen to what Jesus said. You can stay there if you want to. I'm going to turn over to Matthew 24. And this is Jesus talking. And he's talking to his men. They ask him about end time events and what's it going to be like and what things are going to take place and all that kind of thing. But then he tells them this. He says, I'm talking about his return. Nobody really knows. But in verse 37 of Matthew 24, you don't have to turn there, but listen, he says, for the coming of the Son of Man will be just like it was in the days of Noah. Okay, now, so Jesus said there was a Noah. And something happened in the days of Noah. He says, for just in the days of Noah before the flood. Jesus said there was a flood. He said, in the days of Noah before the flood, they were eating and drinking, they were marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. Now, if you believe Jesus, Jesus said there was a Noah, there was an ark, and there was a flood. He goes on to say, and they did not understand until the flood came and took them away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. Now, if somebody asks you, was there a flood, a real flood like that? You'd say, well, if you go to Genesis chapter 6, and we take the Bible as true, it says that God says, I'm going to bring a flood upon the whole earth, and everything that has the breath of life in there will perish. If you believe Jesus, if we do, if we say Jesus is the Son of God, He indeed is our Savior, we believe the Bible, and we believe Jesus. Jesus said, my second coming is going to be just like it was in the days of Noah, so will it be when the coming of the Son of Man, when I come back. See, in the days of Noah, before He got them in the ark and the flood, there were certain things happening. It's going to be that way when I come back. Yes. Which one? The Matthew one? Matthew 24, verses 37 through 39 are the exact verses. You can get back a little bit further if you want to in that passage to get the whole context, but that's where he's talking to them. The Bible tells us there was a flood. Now, there are people who say, well, yeah, there was a flood, but it was a local flood. Yes, yeah. Okay, read those verses. Okay, that's the same.
So is that the same?
Exactly. Now, let me, in the Peter passage, it says by water. What does it say? It says double water, doesn't it? The first verse you first read. Out of water, by water. Yes. Right, by these waters. What we're going to see is that when God created the heavens and the earth, if you remember back in Genesis, He talked about separating the water from the water, and He made a firmament above and a firmament below. And He's talking about, we're going to find that as we study this flood thing, that God made water above the earth and water on the earth. That's what He did. The water above the earth apparently was some type of cloud covering around the earth. That's where the water is going to come from. So when we study the book of Genesis, if you study chapter 1 and chapter 2 and we talk about the creation, He talks about the waters above and the waters below. And then in Peter He says, and from these waters the earth was destroyed. Doesn't He say that there? And the destruction is going to be the Genesis chapter 6, 7, 8, and 9. So first Peter is talking about the literal flood that we're talking about. You're exactly right. Good point. Any other input questions before we go? So the first, yes. I think it was a cloud cover that kept the earth probably in a tropical atmosphere all around the earth. That's what I think, because of what happened afterwards. Let me just throw something out, and just for you to think about this. The best we can tell from Scripture is that when God created the heavens and the earth, and He put the land, and He put the water, and then He put the water above, that water above apparently seemed to be some type of canopy and a protection for the world. If you notice carefully, if you hold to the literal interpretation of the Bible, people from Adam and Eve all the way to Noah lived how long? Anybody know? 900 and 800 years. Now, people say that wasn't true. It's the same years. Now, why did they live so long? I think because the earth was almost in a tropical way. Now, after the flood, we're going to find after the flood, the waters came from the top and out of the ground. The waters fell from this canopy. There's no canopy there now, not in the same way. If you study the Bible, the generations immediately after the flood, their ages almost immediately go to 300 years, and then 200 years, and then 100 years. It starts dropping almost immediately. Something happened after that flood. Before the flood, people lived 800, 900 years. After the flood, they began to live 300 and less. If we hold to the Scripture, and we do, I do. And so I believe what changed was probably that canopy thing. And when all that water fell and the flood and the earth changed so much, and I think the temperature changed, I think the climate on the earth changed. I think that's why we talked last week about the dinosaurs. What happened to them? I think when the climate changed, they didn't survive. Now, some of them survived for a long time, but as a whole group, they became extinct, and their animals become extinct all the time now anyway. But that's what I think on that. Okay, so question number one, was there a flood? If we go to the Scripture in Genesis chapter 6 and in Matthew 24 and other places, the Bible tells us there was a flood. There is evidence of that. Second thing is, what about these fossils? Because people find these fossils and all these things. This has to do with the formation of fossils. There are vast deposits of fossils throughout the whole world, in both in mountains, plains, everywhere you can find them. Why is it so important? Well, some people in evolution tell us that fossils are the answer. Think about this, as some have said. I'm just quoting a guy. He says, between the amoeba and the jellyfish, between the jellyfish and the vertebrae, between the fish and the frog, between the frog and the bird, between the cow and the whale, between the chimpanzee and the man, imagine there were many multi-billions of transitional forms that would exist and would be dug up to show the gradual changes from lower to the higher forms. Now, this is what, in the evolutionary process, if there are all of these things changing from one to another and evolving upward, as which as we taught back in those first part of that study, in the fossil record, what would be expected to be found? Hundreds and millions of these transitional forms that you'd be able to say. Now, that's what we were like when we were going from this to this. And that's what these animals were like when they were going from this to this. How many of those have been found? None. Evolution says that somehow these fossils were formed over long periods, animals died and were buried and preserved, and that the oldest rocks would bear the evidence of the most primitive forms, and the younger rocks would bear the evidence of the more complex, and gradual change would be found in life forms. There would be huge numbers. Charles Darwin, I'm quoting him, the number of intermediate and transitional links between all living and extinct species must be inconceivably great. He said, beyond our comprehension, how many we're going to find as we continue our digs. The problem is the fossil record doesn't show that at all. Stephen Gould, who's a Harvard evolutionary paleontologist, says, all paleontologists know that the fossil records contain precious little in any way of any intermediate forms. The persistent and nagging problem concerning evolution is the extreme rarity of any transitional forms in the record. Colin Patterson, senior paleontologist at the British Museum of Natural History, says, I will lay it on the line. There is not one such fossil anywhere that we could make some type of watertight argument. It would be expected. And see, this is what Darwin thought. Darwin said, if we're evolving upward, which is what we are, he says, then when we really can get into this and dig them all up and find all this, we will find tons, tons of all these fossils showing the intermediate forms. And yet they say, well, the bottom line is there's not any. Well, what about the creation model? The creation model said the fossil record would show a sudden and explosive appearance of very diverse and highly complex forms. There would not be gradual change in life forms from simple to complex. It wouldn't be that way. There would be no transitional forms. What do we find? We find exactly what the creation model would show, not what the evolution model would show. You realize that on the tops of mountains, plants and animals, and at the very top, and sea creatures on the highest parts, and scientists, as they dig and look at all of the strata and the animals, I mean, they'll go to the top of a mountain and they'll find the most simple little thing. And they go, wait a minute, that would should have been down here. I mean, it doesn't match. And the best they can find is there must have been a catastrophe to flip all this stuff around, to move things around. How do you find on the tops of mountains these seashells and these things and these animals that are, you know, how does it happen? The truth is fossils are not formed over long periods of time, but formed rapidly. John Wickham, fossils are not laid down over long periods of time by a swirling mass of sediments, saturated waters during a deluge. Fossilization is an effect of catastrophism, not of uniformitarianism process. Henry Morris says in the Genesis record, sediment and rock show evidence that they were forged rapidly. Fossils require rapid burial or else they'll be destroyed or decayed by scavengers. See, there's got to be something happen fast for fossils to cover them up and to protect them and to save them. The stratum burial of so many fossils indicate there had to be something big. Now, the Bible tells us what that big thing is. It's the flood. The Bible explains this as the flood, the upheaval, the rapid burial of plants and animals. David McQueen of the Institute of Creation Research says, every evolutionary geologist recognizes that the large fossil graveyards were formed by masses of sediment and water. It shows that there had to be some kind of unique time in the earth history in which there was a catastrophe that was able to do that sort of thing. The evidence of fossils and strata indicate that there was an upheaval. Plants and animals were buried quickly. Mount St. Helens. I never forget when Mount St. Helens happened, you know, and people talked about what was going to happen out of that. And if you go back and study some of the things now that after that, they said that there were things that they found that came out of that explosion of Mount St. Helens that happened that they thought, that they had thought previously would have assumed thousands of years for it to form, happened with this catastrophe. Now, if Mount St. Helens produced some things that people would look at and have thought, well, that, we used to think that would take 1,000 years to do. It took a matter of months to do because of Mount St. Helens. Then what would it be like if there was a great flood on this earth? Stephen Austin, chairman of the Institute of Creation Research Graduate School, says Mount St. Helens serves as a mini miniature laboratory for the catastrophe. So was there a flood? Yes. What do the fossils tell us? It looks to me, and I'm not a scientist. I just study the Bible. But when I read everything I can read, just to be able to be informed enough to tell you what we can find, that for the fossil record the way it is and the strata the way it is and the way the world is, there was a catastrophe. And the best that we can see from the history of the world and through the Bible, the catastrophe was the flood, and it caused this. That takes us to the third question, and that is, was there a worldwide flood? Or was it really some local thing? Did God just say to Noah, listen, I'm going to tell you it's a worldwide flood because you're dumb. Because I've just got you here in your little world, and you just think this is the whole world. And so I'm going to tell you it's a worldwide flood, but it's really just in this valley that you live in. Well, you know, what I find is that when you read the Scripture, it is always true and it's always accurate and it's always straight. When he told us in Genesis 1, I'm going to make the heavens and the earth, and the evening and the morning were one day and 2 days and 3 days. I don't think he was fooling us. I don't think he was saying, I'm making it long times, but I'm just telling them it's a day. And I think when the flood came and he came to Noah and said what he said, I don't think he's playing a game. I don't think he's fooling Noah by saying, I'm going to destroy the whole world. Not really Noah, just your little section, but I'm just going to tell you the whole world. Let's see what we can find. By the way, the strata and fossils are everywhere, everywhere, not just in a certain part of the world. Genesis chapter 6, verse 17. Behold, I am bringing the floodwaters upon the earth to destroy all flesh which is in the breath of life from under heaven. Everything that is on the earth shall perish. That's very clear. Chapter 7, Genesis chapter 7, verse 4. For after 7 more days, I will send rain on the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and I will blot out from the face of the land every living thing that I have made. Does that sound world or just partial? Sounds world. Verse 19, chapter 7. And the water prevailed more and more upon the earth, so that all the high mountains everywhere under the heavens were covered. Just the mountain range that Noah lived in, or every mountain and throughout the whole world was covered. What do you think it says? Every world. Everyone. Chapter 7, verse 21. All flesh that moved on the earth perished. Birds. Now, notice he didn't say most of the flesh, some of the flesh. All flesh that moved on the earth perished. Birds and cattle and beasts and every swarming thing that swarms upon the earth and all mankind of all that was on the dry land. All, notice all is used 1, 2, 3, 4. Every time all that was on the dry land, all that were in the nostrils of the breath of the spirit of life died, he blotted out every living thing that was upon the face of the land, from man to animals to creeping things to the birds of the sky. They were blotted out from the earth, and only Noah was left together with those that were with him on the ark. Now, if you read Genesis 6 and 7, it is very plain. If you take the scripture as being God's word, is that the first? You got to hold up your sign. Is that first bell? Okay, thank you. Okay, now, if you read Genesis and you see that, obviously it says there is a worldwide flood. And it says that every human being, everything that had the breath of life, is destroyed. Now, here's some questions. Why would God require Noah to take 100 years to build an ark if it was a local flood? Why wouldn't he just tell him to move? Just move and I'll destroy this part. Why wouldn't he move him to the place if it was local? Why wouldn't God tell Noah, you got 100 years to move? That's not what he did. Basic reasons for a worldwide flood. Number one, the Hebrew word. The Hebrew word which refers to the Noahic flood is not the normal word for flood. The normal word for flood is not used. There is a word called cataclysma is the word that is used. What does that sound like? Yeah, a catastrophe or something. That's the word. So when there is in other places in the Bible and it talks about a flood of waters came, that's one Hebrew word. When it talks about the flood in Genesis, it uses a different word. Number two, it says it covered all the high mountains. It didn't say some of the high mountains. It covered all of the high mountains. It's above the mountains. You're right. Covered them. Number three, all flesh died, even mankind. Everybody died. The water rose. How long did it rain? How long did it take for the water to get to the top part? Do you know? 150 days. The water rose for 150 days. We'll see it when we study it. Now, God made a promise. You remember the promise? What was the promise after the flood? Never again will I do what? Destroy the earth by flood. Now, if it was a local flood, has he had local floods since then? Then, if that was just a local flood, he didn't keep his promise. If it was a worldwide flood, has there ever been a flood that flooded the whole world again and covered every mountain, killed every? No. So, I believe that it's a worldwide flood because of God's word. It says it plainly, clearly. Now, I got one other question and I don't know if we'll get it all. Before we go, anybody got questions on what we've seen so far? Input, questions, anything? Think it was a flood? Think it was a big flood? Think it was a worldwide flood? Where did that water come from? Because that's the next question. Where did all the water come from? Normal clouds. I mean, if you have just clouds, and if it could rain for 40 days and 40 nights, there's not enough water in the atmosphere, even now, that would flood the entire world. You realize that? I mean, even scientists have gone out and checked it out and said, there's not enough water in the cloud system we have now that if it just all rained, it could not flood this whole world. So where did the water come from? Well, go back to Genesis chapter 1. And I want you to see something. And we'll probably just get started on this because I think the bell's going to ring in a second. Look at Genesis chapter 1, look at verse 6. This is on day 2. And then God said, let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters. Now he's got these waters and he's going to make an expanse in the midst of the waters and let it separate the waters from the waters. What's the expanse? You may know. It's the atmosphere, right? Because he's going to have waters below and waters above and he's going to have something in between. God made the expanse and separated the waters which were below the expanse from the waters which were above the expanse, and it was so. And God called the expanse what? Heaven. The heavens. The atmosphere. And there was the evening and the morning, the second day. So in the earth, in the beginning, there was water where? On the surface of the earth and underneath the earth. And then there was water above the earth. Some kind of canopy, the best that we can understand. Did it rain? At the time of Adam and Eve, and I know that's the second bell, but we got to answer this question. At the time of Adam and Eve, did it rain? It said a mist came up every day and watered the surface. Didn't rain. Do you realize, the best we can tell, that when God said to Noah, I'm going to bring a flood upon the earth and it's going to rain, that he could have said, rain was rain. That's why. You think all these people are prepared for the rain and the flood? I don't think they knew it. We'll see next week when we get into, we'll answer the question, where did the water come from? Then we'll get into the ark and we'll talk about building the ark and the animals and was there room and how all those kind of things. We'll go into all that, but there's a lot there. So answer the question. Look in the scripture. Where did the water come from and how is it going to fit together? There's some great things. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thanks so much for a great morning. Thank you for these truths. Lord, there's so much here. Help us to understand it when we think about the flood and the water and the fossils and what your word says. And Lord, we know that we're to go back and take your word as true. Study it from a historical, literal, grammatical interpretation. Put it together. See what you say. Lord, it appears to us from your word that there was a catastrophe, a great upheaval, the flood, that it was a worldwide flood. It covered everything, and everything that had the breath of life died except for Noah and his family on the ark. That's what it appears to us from your word. Thank you for giving us your truth. Lord, we even look around the world and we see that there had to be some gigantic cataclysmic event that caused what we see. Thank you, Lord, that your word tells us what it was. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.